Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name of the show.
Football,
the other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got a mighty hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss with grin the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast too.
Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection edition on a Sunday evening. Week 4 is in the books. Visit,
yay!
Visit MWCConnection.com at MWCConnection. We're up to 600 followers on the official site account. Do you think a lot were because of Chris, you over there in California for the Boise State Fresno game?
Pretty much, right? Because did we get gain 600 more followers over the weekend because?
No, 600 total.
Oh, 600 total.
Oh, no, not 600 more. No. That.
Well, I knew we gained a few more followers over the weekend because I was looking at the twitting.
Twitting?
The twitting, yeah. It's between Twitter and writing. It's twitting.
Of course.
No, and the biggest difference between me and Jeremy when we're live tweeting games is I tend to be a little bit more goofy and pissing everybody off a lot more.
Sure, and I used my own account, which used to be the site one for a while, so that's why I'm rolling a few. But thanks for people who found us. And it was how would you describe really quick the weekend overall?
You know, it was a decent weekend.
What about for you yourself?
It was disappointing.
Okay,
all my teams lost this weekend. But Fresno State, Boise State turned out to be a very good game, regardless of who won.
Could have been the game of the weekend for any team.
Easily. San Jose State is a little bit disappointing.
Punter fight.
Yeah, exactly. But the great thing is the punter got ejected for a fight. So Utah State, USC, exciting to watch live in person. But A, USC fans are still really dumb. And B, the game was very sloppy, which Utah State should have taken advantage of. Alabama, Colorado State. Yeah.
No, especially defense. We'll get to the game, but they held. I don't know how the effort really was for Alabama, but still, even the backups are probably a little bit better than CSU starters in some positions. I would say, pretty similar to that. But they held them pretty good, and overall, like the third down situations, a lot of field goals for Alabama. So, but let's start with your Friday night game.
All right.
Yeah, get the sigh out of the way.
Well, first of all, I would like to say Derek Carr for Heisman.
Full swing. There's a website.
Full swing. There's a website. And
do you have the website in front of you? I'm trying to find it here.
I do not. I want to say it was DC for Heisman or something like that. 39 of 60, 460 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Yeah. He tore up Boise State's defense, which we knew he was going to do.
And it was
funny.
Officially, sorry, DC for Heisman.com. Number 4, DC number 4, Heisman.com.
So I was right, kind of.
Of course.
You
know who else is right? Who picked what happened in the game?
You did.
Over here. 40 you points. Did. Shootout. Fresno wins by less than 4 points.
Hey, but I beat the spread, so. Yeah, no, but I mean, it's funny because when Boise State's defensive line did get to Carr, he was rattled. But there was just way too much space throughout the whole game, and that allowed Carr to pass. On the other hand, though, you had Joe Southwick, who did equally as well.
Charlie Chaplin, you mean?
Charlie Chaplin. Joe Stashwick.
That stash is
whatever
terrible.
Else. That mustache is awesome.
No.
I don't care what anybody says.
No. Okay, fine. You can say it to him, but it's Charlie Chaplin.
You know, he went down with an injury. Grant Hendrick came in and did very well as backing up for Southwick when he was out.
There's only wasn't for that many plays, though.
True, but he still led them on a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he played well, but it wasn't like, hey, he came in and stuff happened negatively. He came in touchdown.
We have running back controversy.
So what happened? I watched the game Saturday morning, so I kind of fat blitzed through it fast forward, so I didn't hear everything we were saying. Was Jay out because he fumbled, or was there something else?
He fumbled in the red zone again.
Yeah, again, because Air Force, there was a weather issue. It was just rainy and stuff, and so that was...
No. He fumbled in the red zone again.
That's what I mean, I'm saying the week
took
before,
him out.
It's understandable when it's raining, more so than last Friday.
Got taken out, so Fresno State goes back, scores a touchdown based off that. Then, the next play on the drive, Baltazar comes in and just tears it up. I think that was when the 35-yard touchdown happened. I just took over. And it was funny because Ajayi was pissed. He knew it. And, like, as soon as Baltazar scored the touchdown, he was the first one on the sideline congratulating Baltazar. So, I mean, it's a good sport, but at the same time, man.
Kinda
really?
Sucks.
In a game like this?
A big game, and he does, what, 90 yards, 5 yards of carry. And he is looking up his thing at Arrivals real quick to kind of see who offered him because he's a true freshman. Nothing spectacular. The best offer... Would you say Washington or UCLA?
I would say UCLA is a better offer than Washington.
Notre Dame had interest, started Auburn a little bit. So he was above average, 3-star guy, so he's pretty good. So do you think he's going to take over the starting role now?
I think.
Or more of a split, or more would be. Because before, carries were still leaning toward Ajayi. Do you think it'll be more even now?
I think it's going to be – he will get the starting role – quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But I think it's still going to be split time.
More split than before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because right now I'm looking here at like the carries. It's 75 for Ajayi, and if he's listed here in the top of CBS stats, yeah, he has 46. So, and they're still pretty even in that game. So yeah, I think it'll be like more split than whoever's playing better will kind of keep going.
Yeah.
But back to the actual game itself. When it first started, it was just back and forth the entire time. Was there a point when you thought it was over for Boise before they made that comeback?
When they were down 14?
Because then there wasn't there, if I recall, because I was going so fast, wasn't there a penalty where Fresno made it down the field but they got called back? Something.
Yes.
In the third quarter? Was that? I'm trying to remember. Yeah. I went through the game so fast I didn't pay too much attention. I just remember there was a huge, was a special teams return?
No. It was a...
find it here, too.
God, it was a penalty, but it was in the red zone because Fresno State was driving.
Oh, the illegal block, I believe, and end up with the
yes,
field. Yeah,
yes,
the illegal
yes,
block,
yeah,
yeah, the illegal block.
So. And then that was the field goal that put them up by 14, and I thought by that point that game was over
because they almost had a touchdown on that point. Like they moved down pretty good there because that was a 16-yard penalty, so that put them all the way back outside to the 30. So I remember there's something I didn't recall what it was, but yeah, that could have been over. And then Fresno's defense just kind of said, okay, let's fold over and watch. Let's just enjoy the ball throwing through the air by Joe Southwick. Let's give the ole to Baltazar back there.
But I will tell you, I think if you want to beat Fresno State this year, do it through special teams. Because Dallas Burrow, and then this is my stat. This is my big stat of the night. This is Dallas Burrow's Boise State kick returner, 5 returns for 155 yards.
Yeah, he was getting down the field quite good. Yeah, he was.
And there was no penetration on him at all. So, and we saw this the first week against Rutgers. Remember, I believe Rutgers had a kick return for a touchdown.
Yeah, they had one, and yeah, they had a kick return touchdown and another one. That guy was just, I'm not saying Burrow's is slow by any means, but again, Rutgers was just blazing fast, and he just blew everybody out of the water. But it's still a concern, because that's how Boise State lost last year versus San Diego State special teams, when they were could have won the conference outright. That is, yeah, because that's what I was going to ask you. Like, what do you think could beat South Fresno? Because while their secondary, some people are saying, is this like 07 Hawaii? Because they just...
No. No, this is much more talented than 07 Hawaii. And the reason why this is more talented than 07 Hawaii is, first of all, if I remember that 2007 Hawaii team, they didn't play anybody until they played Georgia. Let me look that up right now. But secondly,
they played Washington late in the year, but it was like, and they almost lost. And that was a bad Washington.
Yeah, but Washington, that was a bad Washington team. That was the same Washington team that Boise State lost to.
Yeah, I'm trying if I could find it here.
But
we'll look it up later.
But Fresno State has a legitimately good team, and they have a running team. Quezada didn't do much, but they still ran the ball for
not really 60 yards. That's it total. They averaged 2 yards a carry. 2.5 They need. Who was the? Is there? I know there's. I always forget his name. I know I should look it up. But Josh Kajad is the starter. But who was the guy who was supposed to split time from last year?
I do not remember. It seems like he hasn't been in the mix at all.
They split early on, but then after like week, I think the first or second week, like, oh, we're done with this. We're not going to. Let me try to find here. So,
the difference between this Fresno State team.
Yeah,
and the 2007 Hawaii team. First of all, that 2007 Hawaii team didn't play anybody. They played a weak Boise State. They played two FCS teams.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You know.
And they only really moved up because of everybody kept winning by a big margin.
Yeah. That was what the EDSBS people refer to as 2000X.
Yeah, because that was
there
LSU
were just so many teams. Yeah, there were just so many teams who were just horrible, kept dropping. And that just allowed Hawaii just to keep on moving up. I mean, this was a team.
I think they snuck in at like number, I'm trying to find up ranking tier, but I think they snuck in like a number 11 or something.
Yeah, they snuck in at number 10. Yeah. And so here's the thing. I mean, that team, they dominated the very weak competition. And then, I mean, against Utah State, who wasn't good at that time, they only beat 52-37.
Yeah, I got it right here. Yeah, they beat Fresno. I think Fresno could have been – Boise is probably their best win at home, but that Washington team wasn't very good. They snuck by San Jose State in overtime, and that's what San Jose State was just awful. Same with Louisiana Tech. Like, those were some bad teams. And also, I remember that – yeah, San Jose State that year went – well, they have the – they're stupid. They they have the record at the time, so I don't know how they finished. But they weren't very good. We know San Jose State's been pretty bad for a while.
But I mean, this Fresno team is just...
They have an offensive
line. We've
already
seen it. They're so much better.
Because they actually have an offensive line. That was the thing with Hawaii. They just got boat raced by George off the line. They can actually block
And they
somebody.
Have more... And I would say that because Hawaii was just so pass heavy. And I mean, this Fresno State team is as well. But at least there's a little bit of rushing to complement.
Well, and they also actually have depth at the wide receiver, not just depth, but very good,
very good depth.
Their trio is I can't look top of my head, but just thinking, I don't know who could be better in any league across anywhere, because Isaiah Bruce, Josh Harper, and then Devontae Adams. Yeah, and so
there's no other top three. I mean, the person who I'm thinking of, or the other team that I can think of, would be Texas A&M.
And Wyoming's pretty good. Wyoming's got a pretty good trio there, but it's still not quite the same.
It's still not Fresno. But Fresno State, they still have a decent schedule left. I mean, they still have to...
That's the problem, their schedule.
But they play Wyoming and they play San Jose State.
Yeah, before we get to schedule, I want to... Thoughts on the game. What was... Because there was that 4th-and-16 in the... What was it, the first quarter? They decided to go for it. Was there... Because later in the game, Southwick did a punt. Like, he did the Randall Cunningham... Like, we're going to line up, take 3 steps back, and then punt it. Some people are saying that was supposed to be the call, but that wasn't the case because they were, what, the 35?
You know, I'm not sure.
Too far for a field goal, but kind of too close to punt. But being 4th-and-16, way too long to go for. What happened?
I honestly don't think that was too long. I think when you're in that dead zone, no matter what, you're kind of in a no-win situation.
Yeah, but 4th-and-16, though. That's
weak. Yeah, but there's plays to pull out for 4th and 16.
Really? Who pulls out? Here's my play. 4th and almost 20. Nobody has a 4th and long play like that. 4th and over 15.
Four verts. And against Fresno's secondary?
Yeah. Maybe right in that part.
I still think
that's questionable.
If the defensive line hadn't penetrated, you know, that would have been a good call because all the wide receivers were there past the 16-yard mark.
No, I still say regardless of the play call, if it's successful or not, it was a dumb call to go for. I don't care if they got a touchdown off that play or got a 20-yard, just still a dumb play call to go for it on 4th.
Football is a game about balls.
No, it's about
nobody criticized Fresno State's 4th and 9 move, and they were in the same exact position.
Yeah, but 4th and 9 is much more manageable than 4th and 16.
I think past 4th, when you're 4th and long, you're 4th and long.
But still, 4th and you can draw because the thing is 4th and 16. You have to have time. It's not like 4th. Okay, it's only 7. You think it's only 7 yards? It's 21 feet. But if you think about it, it take the timing. If you have any sort of pass rush, which Fresno did on that play,
yeah,
and the Boise play, it takes time to get 16 yards, and that's minimum. You want to be beyond 16 yards. You don't want to make it close. If you have a 4th and whatever play where you have to get a first down or not game's over, but you turn the ball over, you want to get beyond that mark, and that takes time to get downfield.
I don't know.
I just think at that point they should have done like have Southwick kick it or just do a pooch kick or whatever. Just do something.
So, okay. So if they have a pooch kick and the rush is still coming, I mean, how much more successful is that going to be? There's a chance where that pooch kick is going to get blocked. And that, guess what? That counts as a blocked kick and they can kind of hit and run it back.
Yeah, but he's back up. But I don't know. I just thought, get rid of the ball. Do that instead. Don't. But then we go to the other special, kind of wrap into the special teams. What do you think about those 2-point conversions? Because there's a lot of people saying, take the point. Like me, I just say, take the points. There's no need for that unless you need to make it an 8-point game, a 3-point game, or like a 14-point
game. I think where you talk about that, I think it's the first one, there was an advantage seen, and they just didn't execute on the play properly. The second one tried to make up ground where the first one lost ground.
Yeah. I think with the – I get the – the first one, I'm kind of thinking it's okay with it because you're still down a point. It's still early enough where you can make it up. You're not going to need to chase – well, I guess technically you are chasing points later in the game. But you're still like, oh, we need to get within a certain point to make it a 2-possession or 1-possession game before halftime. They must have saw something like you said. I don't recall what it would have been. But then you have the other one where you 8 minutes left. You kind of have to, but then you don't have to. You know what I mean? Because here's the thing: they made up for it anyway, so it doesn't matter. In that fourth quarter, they still ended up with 14 points. So whether in the fourth quarter they kicked both or not, it wouldn't have mattered. So the only thing that really comes down to is the one in the second quarter. And I always think if you're within the first half, why you're not? I'm surprised Lane Kiffin didn't do it against Utah State. He always goes for two. But why not take the points until you have to make it where you need the points? I don't know if it would have made a difference in the game. Yeah, look at the score. It would have been a tie, but you don't know if that would have been the case. Stuff happens.
Yeah. I think that this game is less about missed opportunities and more about just shooting out to the end.
Well, plus, they, Fresno State did not turn the ball over, and Boise did twice.
And there could be your difference between a win and a loss for Boise.
Yeah, and so where do you think, like, well, the way this stays out, because everybody's saying Fresno's, what, they're 23 right now?
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to, we'll get to the rankings later, kind of who we think. Would you still put Boise State the number 2 team?
I didn't put them as the number 2 team last week.
You had them behind Utah State?
Yeah.
Okay, how would you put, let's just do it now. Who do you put your top 3 then? Do you still,
Same? Same.
Even after Wyoming's beat down? Over Air Force,
but everybody beat down Air Force. The Utah State, Boise State, and Wyoming have all beat down Air Force to this point.
Yeah, but Wyoming did a complete game. Boise took them. They struggled for the first half. I'm not saying I'd put Boise higher. I'm saying Boise had their issues against Air Force in that first half. where they couldn't stop that running game. They made adjustments, ended up winning big. But Wyoming had Brett Smith had 4 touchdowns in the first half.
I'm keeping Boise State at 3.
So you'd still go Fresno, Utah State, Boise State, Wyoming?
Yeah.
Or are we assuming you put Wyoming above San Jose State? Because I think you had them up.
Yes, last week. Okay. Yeah.
So what was your key? Like this game, Thursday, what about, like, what do you think about the Kirby Moore, what he said about that catch he should have had?
I think that.
To put it all on him is a good thing?
I think he's mature enough that to put it all on him is a good thing. I think the idiots who are saying, oh, Joe Southwick should have thrown a better ball or whatever, Southwick threw a perfect ball. Moore had it, got hit, dropped it. That right there, I mean, if you're talking about a shootout in terms of the whole game and everything like that, it shouldn't have even come down to that. But when you're a receiver, you're supposed to have the ball. And so I think Kirby Moore did have the right attitude in saying that drop was on me. You know, and it sucks. But at the same time, Kirby is a player who should be mature enough that the next week, I mean, they're going to hit him week after week after week after week.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, that's what they were doing. They went to their best receiver. Baldwin had the most yards, but Kirby had the most clutch catches throughout the game Friday.
Yeah, in this game, because we talked about before, like, because you said Boise State receivers can match Fresno. This game, they're pretty close. There's a lot of passing yards, so there's a lot to go around. And Baldwin, he's the only guy who I can see who we'd see disappearing, but he had 100 yards, 6 receptions. The only thing to say is that both defenses aren't all that great, and if either defense made at least one stop, completely different game. And Fresno, I guess technically Fresno did with the 2 turnovers.
Yeah.
So do you see at this point, are these so if you're saying Fresno and Boise State are the 1-3, they're in the opposite division. So would you at this point still see a rematch, or do you think it's still going to be Utah State, Fresno State?
I think right now it could be a rematch. After watching Utah State on Saturday, it could be a rematch.
Okay. All right, let's move on tonight. We'll get to Utah State.
Let's just go to Utah State right now
because they're in the same discussion. We'll get to we're not going in. If you're following along with your timesheet of each game in order, we're skipping the San Jose State game. We'll come back to it. So Utah State, USC, you're at the Coliseum. Crowd was not too bad. I thought the crowd was decent for that game. Was there any
sexual? Horrible.
Do the red seats cover that up on TV maybe? So it's hard to tell who's really there. Okay, maybe that was it. Because I know it wasn't going to be still out, but they have a lot of red seats, so it's hard to tell.
It said the attendance is 63,000.
Tickets
sold. There was not 63,000 people at that stadium. I mean, I saw a stadium that was half empty throughout the majority of the game.
Okay, so in this game, you were where was your seating position? Where were you hanging out?
50-yard line, nice. 80 rows up.
So pretty good seats. You were
good very good.
Seat
yeah.
at all midfield. So what was your – like when you saw like Chucky Keaton and everything live, what was your overall feel? Because watching TV, it's a bit different. I was kind of surprised. I knew USC's defense was good, that 5-2 contained Chucky Keaton. But was Utah State's offensive line that much overwhelmed by what Clancy Pendergast was doing?
I think on one hand it was. I think a lot of because the crowd was quiet.
Of course.
They weren't really loud at all. And so I think it really was the USC defensive line that was able to contain. Because, look, Chucky Keaton was sacked 4 times in the game.
Yeah, he was maybe sacked, had negative yards rushing. The thing with – because we know he can take off and run. And I kind of thought, okay, maybe Utah State just needs to get familiar with this because Utah's defensive front, when they played opening game, is probably the worst defensive front they've had in a long time. But they still have similar talent or size of players, almost to USC. You know what I mean? It's still step up, but it's not like they only played 2 FCS schools and they're now doing USC. They are ready for this game from what they saw versus Utah, even though it's a little bit higher talent. But I think that was the difference in the game was that defensive front because Trey Keaton, what Utah State wants to do with Matt Wells, they want to roll him out, not necessarily just do a direct run play with Keaton, but give him the option to give him space, move the pocket around. And USC was bringing – they weren't even blitzing all that often with their linebackers. I mean, every now and then they would, but they were just able to keep – just put the circle around the pocket and not let him go left or right at all. So So he can sit there, which is fine. And we said he can, if that's the case, he can have the ability to get receivers. And he did about 50%. But he's better when he can move. And not that receivers will go off route to go with him, but it gives him more time, so it's open. But that with USC containing him in the pocket, he had none of that.
Yeah, and if he was 21 for 39, I would say that there were at least 8 drops by the Utah State receiving.
There were drops, but some of those drops were on Keaton. He was laser beaming all those passes.
Oh, yeah, totally. Those were just bullet passes.
Yeah, if he put a little touch on it, even a little bit, he would. Who knows what would have happened a couple of plays here or there. But the biggest play in the whole game, I want your call because this was right in your wheelhouse where you're sitting. There was the legal man downfield by Tyler Larson. Because that was, let me pull up the exact play, but that put Utah State deep in USC territory. That whoever caught the ball, I forget to hear, I think that was third quarter, correct?
That was after they scored the touchdown in the third quarter. They were driving again. And Keaton threw this beautiful pass to,
wide open.
I think it was Van Leeuwen.
Probably.
And, I mean, I just wide open, kept running, everything like that. And, I mean, it was funny because then the flag came out and the call came, ineligible receiver downfield. I watched the replay.
Me too.
And it was hilarious because, like, the stupid USC fan next to me, oh, there it is. I'm like, what? The wide receiver who's a eligible receiver?
No, because that's not who it was.
Like, I'm like, you're pointing to the wrong person. He's eligible. And then they called it on Tyler Larson. Larson was ineligible. It was an extremely questionable call.
Technically, he was a yard or two in front of the line of scrimmage. He was clearly ahead of everybody else. But he could have stretched his arms out as far as he could, like the little kids do a helicopter move, and still not been within 3 more yards of any USC defender.
Right.
It wasn't like he pushed a guy back or anything. He could have done somersaults. He could have done jumping jacks and spinning circles and not been anywhere near a USC player.
No, and he wasn't calling for the ball. He wasn't, you know,
downfield
for a
potential block like on a screenplay. He wasn't downfield. Yeah. So he was nowhere near the play. I don't know why you call it, because I guess it was pretty obvious because he was well ahead, but he wasn't. The play wasn't near him. I don't know, nothing about the play would he help the play with that. He didn't even block. I don't even think he had to block anybody in that play. He may have pushed. No. I don't remember if he pushed a USC defender into a tackle or something, but he had no impact on the play at all. And it wasn't egregious where he's 10 yards down the field where he could make a block if the Utah State receiver were to cut backfield. No, there wasn't even a wide receiver near him for Utah State to even potentially get a throw in that area to help him block downfield.
Yeah,
and if that went through, that with the way, because Utah State moving the ball, they stalled. I think they had to punt, but who knows? They probably could have got another 10 or 12 yards and gotten field goal range, and it's a 3-point game.
And the missed field goal was also another key.
Oh, that's right. I completely
thing of the game.
Well, each team missed a field goal, didn't they?
Each team did, but
so
I mean,
still big for each team.
Yeah, I mean, USC gains nothing from this win. Utah State actually loses a lot from this win. And Utah State, I think, had a lot more chances to beat USC in this game.
Well, their defense played huge. They holding you. Okay, USC has talent. USC, again, was without their top two running backs. So they didn't have Curtis McNeil and the other guy I can't think of. And Trey Madden did fine, 93 yards, but it took them 24 carries and averaged 3.9 a run. There were no big plays. Couple of pass plays over 30 yards, 2 of them, and then nothing huge in the running game. And I'm surprised. How does Marquise? I'm sorry, USC has an issue if Marquise Lee can't get the ball more than 72 yards against this Utah State secondary.
Yeah,
Cody Kessler, 50%, 164, nothing. Compare slightly better than Chase King because he had a few deeper pass plays, but. This is a game. It's just Utah State. I don't know. I'm not saying not there, but what do you think it was? Was it just the offensive line not able to make a push, I guess? I guess because I kind of thought that was their big strength this year, even against any USC.
I think that's it. I think Chucky Keaton's also inability to run, I think, also hurt Utah.
There was one play, too, I was watching at the end of the game. I'm not sure if you saw it or not, where he did that high step on fourth down. He ended up taking off and running.
Yeah.
I watched the replay a couple times. I don't think he needed the high step. I know what he's trying to do to jump to not get tackled. I don't know if there's still enough room for him to get that first down. But I think if he just sprinted and ran, he might would have had a much better chance. Because high-stepping to slow down, and then the linebacker came and just tackled him probably 2-3 yards later. I'm wondering if he just took off and just ran and didn't do anything cute or fancy to high-step, he might have been able to get that first down.
Just I don't know, maybe a little bit of heroism in Keaton?
I don't know, I'm just wondering because I know what he's trying to do. A guy's diving at your ankles, you don't get tripped up, and then you just fall. But it's hard to tell because the defender attack coming from behind was he probably may have saw him a little bit, or he knew when he made the run to decided to tuck it in and run. He knew the guy was there and saw him jump, so he did a high step. But I think I'm thinking maybe who knows, but I think he would have had at least a better chance if he'd been able to just run and not slow down to do that jump.
All right.
But this also I was reading around this game, so we know USC or Utah State's lost to Auburn, BYU, Wisconsin. Their last five losses, do you know how many points they've lost by in those games total combined?
Five.
13.
13?
13 points in the last five losses. So the losses are very good teams. USC, I don't think it's the Auburn game, but USC, BYU, Utah this year, Wisconsin.
Yeah, they lost to Auburn by 4.
I don't know if Auburn is counts into the streak, though. That's what I'm trying to figure out here. But regardless, their last five games... 13 points. And that's just like a player here or there. Because that's these two games this year, that's 7 points this year. I'm going to actually pull some numbers. I want to see this now. Because I didn't see the games. Yeah, Wisconsin by 2, BYU by 3, and then who was 2011?
Auburn.
Was that? I think. Yep, that was Auburn there. Oh, Auburn and Colorado State. Well, no. Ohio, they lost their bowl game, Ohio, Colorado State, and Auburn. CSU was by 1, Ohio was by 1, and Auburn was 6. It was 4. So, but still, that's one possession. Oh, jeez. Now, looking back now. Oh, well, no, that can't be right. I'm going a bit too far back. That does include Auburn, but they also lost, like, Fresno, Louisiana Tech. But going back to the bowl game in 2011, since then going forward, 13 points and 5 losses. That's tough, man.
Interesting.
So let's move on. Let's backtrack to the fight.
San Jose State, Minnesota, the Fighting Punters.
Wow. They need to stick them on the rush defense. Think that would help? Just saying.
Maybe. Quite possibly.
Oh, my goodness. It was, what's his name here? I should have his name up. But I just want to give him credit for getting kicked out of a game. Harrison Wade, which is not the first time he's done this. The hit was late, but man. You don't need to get after it. Start a full-on baseball brawl there. Get knocked over. I'm watching it right now. Just dives on it, too. It's like, come on, man.
Whatever. Yeah, no. He tried. He went into an all-out fight.
They were without Noel Grigsby, which we found after recorded. He possibly ACL tear. And apparently Ron Carragher doesn't like to disclose any injury issues at all. And
so he's a Pac-12 coach.
Yeah, Pac-12. Yeah. Not to go off topic, but the stupid – I get all the emails from if I ever go to university star practice for stuff. Like, whatever you see at practice, if you see any player, injury, limps, wearing any special protective gear, you are not allowed to report on it. It's like, they don't want us in practice if you don't want us to see that stuff. It's like, come on, whatever. But here's it. So David Fells is a good quarterback, even without having Noel Grigsby. 3 for 439, did have 2 picks, 3 touchdowns. But red zone – killed him again in this game. They went for it on a 4th and 1, got stuffed for 2 yards. They had to kick a field goal at the 15-yard line in the first half. Minnesota had another pick 6 in this game, I believe, if I'm correct on that. They'd have another defensive touchdown. Let's see here. This is exciting radio as I'm looking that up. Wasn't there a pick 6? Oh, yeah, no. Maybe I'm wrong here. I don't know. I thought I saw a pick 6 in the highlights. So this is helpful. It says a 22-yard nothing for Minnesota. But here's the thing. I don't know what to do at San Jose State. So are they reverting back to 4 years ago?
No.
Or is Minnesota really? Is Minnesota that good?
Way too much talent. Yeah, they have way too much talent.
Where? I'm saying besides David Fells and Ben Wickier.
Ben Wickery.
Whatever. Yeah, Ben Wickery. I can never get the name. It's an interesting name. Ben Wickery.
Here's the thing about San Jose State too. I mean, Minnesota's 4-0 now at this point. Now that they've beaten San Jose State.
Yeah.
They've lost two pretty. And they play Utah State next week.
Friday
we're night. Not gonna know. We're not gonna know much about San Jose State until they play the middle of the conference.
Well, even yeah, because I'm assuming early prediction. You think Utah State because it's at Utah State.
Yeah, well, early prediction. I thought this was a 10-2 team.
Well, I mean, for that game. Do you think Utah State's just gonna crush them? No, it's at, actually it's I, at no, it's at it's, home. It's it, actually it is in San Jose State. San Jose there.
It's not going to be an Air Force game. I think it's going.
But
it's going to be Utah or San Jose State's going to be threatening to strike, but for some reason just can't do it. And that's San Jose State's biggest problem this year, from what I've been watching, is they can't finish drives.
Yeah, they get stuck like a 30-yard field goal. They go for it on 4th-and-1. And then that's the same thing for Stanford. They play better against Stanford than Minnesota, defensively at least.
Yeah.
And here's a few things. Like they can't – not just finishing drives getting close, but they're 1-of-9 on 3rd downs, 2-of-4 on 4th downs, -3 in turnover margin. They only had the ball 19 minutes in this game. They did hold Minnesota to passing. I forgot Minnesota did have their backup in there. They had Mitch Leidner. Who can't throw worth the darn, but he ran the ball 24 times. They had two guys over 100 yards. Two guys combined for 276 and 6 touchdowns on the ground. 353 overall. That just can't happen. Yeah. So I'm afraid. Does San Jose State play Air Force this year?
No, they don't.
Not too bad. Do they play New Mexico this year?
Their
division.
I don't know.
They do play. No, wait. They play Navy. So we'll get to see how that bloodbath turns out.
They play Navy.
Yes.
Oh geez,
they do play Navy. Yeah, they do miss Air Force and New Mexico. So I don't. David Fells is fine. He can throw the ball to whoever, and they have looks like they have guys.
And
who
really,
can catch
he
the
did
ball.
Throw the ball to whoever.
Chandler
I mean,
Jones
yeah,
did
Chandler
have 200
Jones
yards.
Had 200 yards receiving, but behind them, Freeman had 81, Nunn had 69, Carr had 55, Crawley had 37, and that was just 2 receptions. He quite literally did throw all over the place.
Yeah, they average, like, here's his long, 76, 42, 27, 24. He can go downfield, but he can't throw. They didn't have the ball enough because Minnesota just ground the clock out. They just didn't have time to make plays. And if you can't finish, if you can't run the ball, because we thought Jason Simpson would be something special, but 29 yards on the ground, and one of those was 18 yards. I just think they need to find a running game and be able to finish drives. And I guess not turn the ball over because a fumble and 2 picks. I don't recall how those happened, but you can't have that happen if you're going to beat a Minnesota team who I guess is not too shabby.
We could say this Minnesota team is average to almost good.
Well, they beat New Mexico. Who would they beat? New Mexico State, UNLV, and Western Illinois before this?
Yeah.
So that's all. I guess we're still
waiting. I actually fully expect them to beat Michigan this week.
Interesting. Oh, yeah, because Michigan struggled versus UConn. That was an exciting.
And Akron.
Akron. I'm going to gouge my eyes out after those two games. Saw part of them. Like, jeez. So, that's. I don't know what I'll say about this game. They just couldn't get it done. They made big plays, but didn't make the big plays when they needed to. I think that's kind of easy way to sum it up. Plus, 100 yards of penalties hurts as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think I saw that that 42-yard pass to Freeman. And, I mean, that put them in the red zone, and they just couldn't finish the drive.
Yeah, that's – you got to be able to finish, do something. So, better luck next time, Spartans. So, let's move on to CSU, Alabama. They covered the spread.
They did. They covered the spread, and
– they were in this game till the end.
They held the process. The process only converted 2 of 10 third downs.
And they were started off, it was over. They didn't get that first one until like the fourth quarter. They held them over, at least over 7. I kind of got stopped keeping track later on. But they were at first 0 for 7 on third down against Alabama. Alabama did miss a field goal. They held them to a field goal in the game. They're 14 of the 14 of those 31 points were off of quick scores. One was a blocked punt in the second quarter, and then at the end of the game, there was the only turnover they had, I believe if I'm looking correctly, a fumble by Garrett Grayson. Next play was a 30-yard touchdown pass by A.J. McCarron to DeAndre White. So it was, thing is, going into the fourth quarter, it was only 17-6.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
Colorado State, Grayson, people are saying, get Grayson out of there. That's a crappy play. Yeah, he didn't play a lot. I watched a lot of this game because I'm curious. I'm like, I turned it on when I was on the computer. I was like, okay, it's 7-0. No, like the first quarter, like, there's no points halfway through the first quarter. Joking, 8 minutes in, Colorado State's giving up 0 points, kind of that type of deal. First quarter only gave up seven. Started watching, the thing Garrett Grayson needs to know is what the announcer was saying all night, and I picked up on early on as well. It's like if you're in the NFL, you don't throw the ball when the guy's open. You throw the ball knowing he's going to be open. You have a tight window, because the NFL, if you're open, unless some guy falls, you're not going to be open for much longer. And half the Alabama defense will get a shot in the NFL. And there's times he has a rollout where, yeah, it's a tight window. There's one play particularly, there's like a 3rd and 5 or something. Grayson rolls out, throws it to one of the running backs or maybe a tight end. Just the ball got knocked down by a safety came from behind. If he would have thrown the ball as fast as he could, he's going to the sideline. So if he doesn't catch it, it's likely just going to go out of bounds, unless it bounces a weird bounce. He waits till he's open and throw it to him. Too late. Defender gets him. If he throws it, and plus this play, it's like those plays. You're running to the sideline across the middle of the field. The guy's chasing you anyways. So you already have, if you throw it in front of him, and as long as it's not too far, you're the only guy who can catch it. And then by the sideline, it's going to be difficult to get an interception there. If he threw it right when the guy was there, throw it to the spot, not to where he's at, a lot of the times, not saying they're the one, but he would have been more successful in there. And he did pretty well, 24-38. 228, nothing spectacular, nothing terrible, but he could have had could have gone 30 for 38, close to 300 yards, if he would have thrown when the guy would have been open in the ball, like the timing offense. Like if you're, like watch Peyton Manning or an NFL, they'll throw the ball, the guy turned, it's right in his face. By the time he turns around, the ball's there. He knows it's going to be there. That's what he needs to work on. And the running game got shut down, but defense, very impressed with what they could do with defense. I don't know. Like, do you think Alabama was going full force?
Well, okay, so remember that TJ Yeldon was suspended the first quarter of the game.
Correct.
But even then, after that, okay, it says 7 carries for 49 yards, but 38 of those yards came off one carry.
Correct.
They held him to 6 carries for 11 yards. But look at everybody else who was rushing.
Yeah, 3 yards a carry overall.
20 carries, I think it would be 2.8 average when you take away that 38-yarder.
Yeah,
I mean,
less than that, yeah.
Colorado State's front seven were getting physical. And even A.J. McCarron, even though he was 20 for 26, 258, they still forced him one touchdown and one pick.
Yeah,
and this team, I mean, this team was full strength. But how full strength can you be? I mean, this should have been, if Alabama's the best team in the country, and I don't care who you are, this should have been a 50-something nothing.
Well, look at those other games this weekend. Ohio State beat Florida. Okay, it's Florida A&M, but Baylor beat Louisiana Monroe, who people thought were a competent football team. There were 4 teams that scored 70 or more points, and one of them was not in Alabama.
Alabama didn't even come close to 40.
I'm trying to pull up the score here. Like, Baylor beat Louisiana Monroe, didn't they beat Arkansas in overtime last year? They beat some teams. Okay, I get it. Yeah, Miami 77-7 over Savannah State. Washington 56-0. But
Georgia put 45 on North Texas, and that was 45-21. A&M put 42-13 over SMU.
Tulane. Not that Syracuse good, but Tulane's bad. But there's plenty of teams that score 70 points or so. Mississippi State put up 62. If you're correct, if they're supposed to be the best team in the country and Colorado State's not to be considered anything special. I don't because they're saying, I'm pretty sure they rotated some defenders in to get some guys some extra playing time. But how early can you do that when it was a close game for the most part? Yeah, you're gonna win it 17-0, but in that third quarter, maybe they did it in the third quarter. But 17-6, that's 9 points. That's not very much. Weirder things have happened in college football. But if you're supposed to be this good, 2-10 on third down, you average, like I said, 3 yards a rush, 10 yards a pass. Which 10 yards a pass is pretty good, but Alabama says they want to win and dominate, and they're not looking like a team that's that good. Not that they're that good, but as good as as they should be. If you're that number one team, you just got to crush them. And they couldn't do that. Well, it's funny
because, I mean, if you go over to Roll Bama Roll, they're not – I mean, they're not – they thought this game was just sloppy and ugly as well.
It could have been for concentration-wise because the thing is in football, it's hard to play half speed or kind of just go with it. Like, if you're an offensive lineman, if you kind of let up, that's how you're going to get hurt. That's, like, why they hate doing the Pro Bowl. Guys don't try. But if you're offensive lineman, you can't really do that. Or even defensive line. Any position. Wide receiver, I guess you can a little bit. Defensive back. Quarterback a little bit if you're kind of just not doing your reads as well. But then you get smashed if you're not paying attention. That's the thing. If you're not paying attention, you can get crushed and get injured. And I don't see the – I see what they do now. It's like kind of glancing over their – negatives or not, just overall bad performance. It just wasn't all I could say. If you're the best team in the country and CSU's what would you say they're at? Top 90 to 125, bottom third?
I would say they're in the low 80s at best.
So bottom third?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bottom quarter.
I think you'll see Alabama come out stronger next week. But I think this is going to be the game that defines whether or not Alabama is going to be able to make it into the national championship game.
Question, was Nick Saban thinking about Texas during this game?
No.
Did you see the t-shirts and the website?
Yeah.
I apparently stumbled across that, and not that I started anything, but I went to the that live chat SBS shows. I'm like, hey, look at this, guys. And like three people literally during the chat, I just bought my shirt right now for that. Saban to Texas, burnt orange. And then... have you seen the other shirts like Texas Tech and everything, like Keep Mac Brown? Have you seen those?
Yes, yes.
It's like, oh, those are amazing. But I don't know, Ole Miss, or they do play Ole Miss, who's number 21, so I don't know. I'm just glad CSU didn't get blown out. They covered, and their defense, who knows, this could give them some pretty good confidence heading down the stretch. Because if you can hang with Alabama and not get embarrassed, they got UTEP next week, San Jose State. They have a good stretch after UTEP game, but good for them. They played better than expected, and 6 points, whatever. You didn't get shut out, and you didn't get embarrassed, which a lot of teams get embarrassed by Alabama. So I think we're safe to say next game, which is – let me refresh here. Sorry, my browser stalled on my
next,
half a second.
Next game, Oregon State versus San Diego State, the choke job. San Diego State following their professional brethren.
I don't know what to make. Here's the thing. I don't know any, because when I was at the Utah BYU game in the press box doing some other stuff, I was monitoring this game. Some other guys I work with, they're like, "What's Oregon State doing?" I'm like, "They are losing to San Diego State," and they're like, "How does Utah lose to freaking Oregon State when San Diego State's up on Oregon State for the most part?" Well, Sean Manning did his – well, I don't know what to say, because Sean Manning did his thing, did what he did against Utah, threw for a bunch of yards, bunch of touchdowns. I don't really know. They turned the ball over a couple times. That's got to be it. But dude, you get shut out 30-3 in the fourth, 20-3 in the fourth quarter, and pick six, just explosion, implosion. They score.
Oregon State remembered that they were actually better than San Diego State.
Oh, yeah. The 13 points in, 9 seconds that is about on the play clock?
Yeah.
Got that right? Pick six, touchdown. San Diego State was winning 27-14 heading into the fourth quarter. Because during this game, I kept telling guys, yeah, the San Diego State defense should be pretty good. They haven't shown it, but they're above average defense. At least kind of what we thought heading into the year, that 3-3-5. And they showed in this game, you give up 14 points or three quarters to Oregon State, who has a pretty potent offense, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Then it just goes points, points, points. Let's not try. Turnover, turnover. Pick six!
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, Quinn Kaler did do much better than Adam Dingwall. 16-25 for 251, two picks, two TDs. It's just the pick six at the end of the game. The defense just folded at the end. Offense did enough to win, I think. 30 points is almost.
It should be good enough to win.
I get. Well, I would say couple that with their first half performance, because when Oregon State played Utah, I think it was, what, 50-46? They scored 50 points. And so if you hold them to 14.5 and you have, and you're winning 27-14 going to the final frame, you would feel pretty confident about yourself.
My biggest problem with Kaler is if you're going to get sacked five times, make sure you get sacked by less than 39 yards.
Yeah, learn to throw the ball away.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch any of these games. I didn't have access to CBS Sports, just watching the game monitoring, game feed and stuff. But, like, here's their fourth. Want to see their fourth quarter drives? Just really quick. They get a five plays, punt, get to midfield. They get a field goal, which was a good response to
the touchdown.
Yeah, the touchdown a little bit before. And, well, I guess in between there's touchdown, but then they let Oregon State get touchdown. Then the pick six happened. That's the thing. Okay, you're up 30-21. Their possessions were awful. They had three possessions in the fourth quarter. Six plays, the eight play drive did get a field goal. But again, you get stopped at your own 13.
Here's the final thing. And I think we're going on already a little bit long. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this last drive. Okay.
Yes,
You're up 30-28. They just scored a touchdown on you. Do not just keep on running the ball.
Yeah.
Run the freaking ball.
Because if you look at the drive prior,
Uema rushed for a loss of 4 yards. Cool, fine, whatever. Oregon State takes a timeout. 2nd and 19, just run the ball. Because odds are if you run the ball, take 40 seconds for however, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you're still going to take so much time off the clock.
Yeah, because Oregon State, they had all three timeouts at that point. That was their first timeout. Yeah, okay. Run the ball, you have to punt. Okay, punt's better than pick six, obviously. No denying that. But okay, they call a timeout 2:37. What does it go down to, maybe? They use all three timeouts. They have, just be generous and say, on the San Diego State side, 2 minutes, 2:15, and you're at your own 30-yard line. You got to go 70 yards, 2:10, whatever, just over 2 minutes, and you need at least a field goal, or you still need a field goal to win, but still, you have no timeouts left. You got to rush the field goal if that happens. I get what they're doing. You're trying to play to win, not lose, but look at their drive before. Every play was a rushing play except for a 7-yard pass to Ezeal Ruffin. Muema for 3 yards, 4 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, 1 yard. Okay, not the greatest running ability.
I don't understand it.
But even here, the drive before, you're up 6 points. I get kicked the field goal, you're up 9. You're fourth and 2-13. Running the ball, maybe? I don't know.
If you run the ball, okay, 2:40, you rush. Okay, 40 seconds off, plus another couple. Right, so 158.
Well, they had to use their timeouts at that point. They still had two left.
Okay, but 158, you take a timeout. Okay, you run the ball again. Whatever.
You could still
take a full minute.
No, I don't. No way, because what is rushing play call? 10 seconds? They'll call a timeout right away. That's why I'm thinking just above 2 minutes. But still, regardless, I think you're right. Let them burn their timeouts. Okay, I would even go as far. They run on first down, lost 4 yards, a penalty on the first down. So it's 2nd and 19. Run the ball on 2nd and 19, or do what, and then maybe pass on 3rd and 19, or 3rd and whatever. Then again, they still have a timeout, but you at least have a chance to move the ball. I don't know. They just stopped doing what they were doing. They just tried to run the whole. Almost every play in the fourth quarter's run. They only threw the ball three times or four times in the fourth quarter. Well, I guess four, then interception, but still, they. I don't know, whatever. San Diego State, are they still your worst team in the league?
Quite possibly.
Possibly. It could be. I don't know. I might be heading back to Hawaii. So, really quick, let's finish this because we're going way too long and everything. We're almost at. We are at 52 minutes, so.
How do we still have four games?
Three games, right? Nevada, Hawaii, Western Illinois, Wyoming, Air Force.
Okay.
Whatever. Okay. I thought. Did you think Hawaii could have won the could have? Which Hawaii came?
When I knew Cody Fajardo wasn't starting, I figured that they had a good chance.
And it was not just. This was their Nevada's third string QB, Tyler Stewart. It wasn't Devin Combs, who's a very good backup. This was third string quarterback who pretty much did nothing against Florida State in the second half, got manhandled.
How the hell do you go through four quarterbacks Hawaii?
I know that. I don't know. What's Norm Chow and Jordan Wynn thinking? Here's the funny thing. Neither of them, their completion percentage, neither were all that awful. Graham, 9-15. Schroeder, 8-14. Higgins, 5-11. But still, they passed for 50% with four quarterbacks, but I don't...
And why is Woolsey throwing the ball?
Oh, yeah. He's not a quarterback.
Is he? I don't even know.
I thought he was a... Wait. Nope, he is... I was thinking another guy.
Woolsey.
Yeah, I thought I was thinking of Isofa, the running back.
Freshman quarterback. Why are you letting him play?
Born a redshirt? I don't know. That seems pretty risky. Unless he's a redshirt freshman, which I don't think so. I don't know. It's Hawaii. Is that a good enough reason? It's Hawaii.
I guess. I mean, one touchdown, four interceptions. At least Taylor Graham didn't do any of that. But just I'm just so confused.
Yeah, because that kid, he is a true freshman, which he can still get a red shirt, but cause it's only 20, I think it's 20% of your playing time you can get a red shirt. Seeing what they got, they weren't out of this game until the third quarter. It was 17-9 at the half. You're still an 8-point game. I don't think, was there any injury news we missed on this game? But that doesn't excuse playing four quarterbacks. I can see.
Well, Taylor Graham was playing through the second quarter.
At the end of the second quarter, you got the touchdown.
Towards the end of the second quarter.
Yeah, 3 minutes and then 30 seconds and then left. Oh, that was Sean Schroeder.
Sean Schroeder. So after they missed the third down, or after they missed the fourth down and Nevada took over and scored, brought in Sean Schroeder. Okay, I get that. Okay. Sean Schroeder gets picked off to start the third quarter. Okay, fine. Then they keep on, you know, using Sean Schroeder into the third quarter, in the third quarter, in the third quarter. And then they
play
third and 26.
Who wants to play? Who wants in the game?
Yeah. Going into the fourth quarter. Okay. They replace him with Jeremy Higgins.
Who is that? Never.
And fumble. And then he's playing more. And then they take him out halfway through the fourth quarter and put in Ikeaka Woolsey.
Why?
I don't know.
I get Graham and Schroeder weren't all that effective yardage-wise, but did Graham turn the ball over? Did he fumble, I think? Is that what you said? He fumbled once?
Yeah.
They had six total fumbles, six total turnovers, four picks, though, but none of them were by Graham. I just don't know what to say. No, if you look what Nevada did, Tyler Stewart exceptionally well, 14-20, 202, three touchdowns. He ran for 29. He played much better than anybody thought, just because what he did versus Florida State. Nevada's defense, I don't know. Nevada's pass defense is pretty poor, and they still couldn't do all that well for Hawaii. That's also a pretty big concern if you can't pass all that well. Over, I guess if you cumulative the stats, that's not too bad. But still, I want an explanation of why they played four quarterbacks.
I want an explanation.
Should we move on from that?
I just never want to see it again.
Outside of injuries, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's move on. I don't know anything about Western Illinois, UNLV. It's my first time looking at the box score outside of
all Illinois. I know about Western Illinois is they actually played pretty well against Minnesota the week before, only lost 29-12, and UNLV just whooped on them.
This is what UNLV needed, 38-7. Caleb Herring is
14 of 20, yeah, 140.
Whatever, that's all I needed to do. They let the running game take over. Tim Cornette, Herring did get 57 on the ground. They let everybody run the ball. So Shaquille Murray-Lawrence, Tim Cornette, Keith Whitley, UNLV did give up a lot on the rushing front, 197 overall, but...
So here's a question.
No penalties, that's good for UNLV.
So here's a question. If this UNLV team right now, so with Caleb Herring at the helm instead of Nick Sherry, if this was used in the first game against Minnesota, do you think UNLV could have beat Minnesota?
With Caleb Herring?
Yeah.
What was the score in the... Well, they got blown out. I don't know, because the only real mistake... Let me pull up that game, because here's the thing. Blocked field goal, special teams, and a big rushing play. The only points you could really say, and Sherry did fairly well moving the ball a little bit when he was in, but 21 points would not have been on responsible for a quarterback.
Just but it feels six. Like it feels like Herring has just been so much more effective since he's taken the helm.
Yeah, but Sherry wasn't bad. 35 in that game, Minnesota game, 35 of 50, 226. Okay, not effective in terms of yards per set play. Did have the one pick six, another turnover, and then another interception. I don't know, maybe, but most of this game was the defense in the second half, and I would say it'd be closer. I don't think it'd been blown out, because I think Herring really get the ball down the field a bit more. I still don't think they would have won with those 21 points that would have they came from the special teams, or 14 from special teams and the Philip Nelson 48-yard touchdown run. So I'm going to go ahead and say no on that.
Okay.
Question for you now, counter question, even though we're getting near the end, we need to hurry up. UNLV is 2-2. Do they have a shot of getting six wins now? Wait, seeing who we've seen, San Jose State struggle, Air Force struggle, Nevada could be playing a third-string quarterback for a while.
Because
here's what they have. New Mexico hasn't taken a step forward. They play Hawaii. Yeah.
Not as much as that we would have liked them to.
I don't think
Hawaii is horrible.
So they play at New Mexico, Hawaii. That could be two wins. Fresno, yep. No.
No. Nevada, yes.
I think it's on the road, but I just think if they're still playing it.
Well, remember that this was my upset special preseason.
Sure.
Fremont Cannons painted red again.
Yes. I'm saying if Nevada's still going with their third-string quarterback, I would give it a toss-up. And then San Jose State, I don't know, Air Force, San Diego State. I don't think it's out of the question that if they can play, if we think what Herring, I think we're overvaluing the team in general as we do with every team because we thought this league would be much better. But who we know enough about it where I could see New Mexico being a win for Nevada, UNLV, Hawaii. I don't say Nevada would be, but whatever. I don't think San Diego State will be. But there are four wins, Air Force and San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. So, I don't know. Just saying. All right, let's move on to the final game. Which is...
About damn time. Ethics!
Yes. Flyboys. Howdy doody. How does that feel with Troy Calhoun to get beat down 56-23?
Yeah, I mean, more of a beat down than Utah State. You know what? I honestly... As bad as Air Force has looked this year anyway, I honestly think Christensen was really trying to stick it to Troy Calhoun this year.
Yeah, but the first half, you're not going to give up anything. You're going to want to play. Halftime, it was 42-17.
And really, there's only one turnover.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at right now. They scored 28 points in that second quarter. Plays so quickly, but Air Force did everything we thought they would do to maybe get the win. They probably threw a bit too much, but they still completed over 50% of their passes on 12 of 20. But they ran for 346 and had a 6-yard average per run, which is very good, exceptional. And we thought Wyoming's rush defense would play better because we saw – they did pretty good versus Nebraska and Utah, or not Utah State, but the other teams they played, I'm blanking on their FCS school they played and everything because they are sitting at 3-1. Do you think right now, okay, we don't need to discuss this blah, just Brett Smith, well, 35 of 41, he'll be player of the week, I'm assuming. Do you think he'll be player of the week on Monday? Go to Derek Carr.
Ooh. Oh, I think this will go to Brett Smith.
Or co-offensive player of the week.
No, I think it'll go to Brett Smith this week.
Let me see what Carr did really quick, not to drag this on anymore. He had, what, a couple touchdowns? 2, I think.
Who? Smith?
Carr. 4.
Carr,
I don't know,
4 touchdowns.
39 to 60? Well, I think it'll be Smith because of his rushing ability. Rushing to that
exactly, game. Exactly.
100, what, 120, 138. So, who do you think right now is the best-looking quarterback in the league then? There's only two choices, in my opinion.
Brett Smith or Derek Carr?
Yeah, I'd say Keaton, but for USC, he couldn't
use
much.
Kind of a, you know what? I might say Brett Smith over Derek Carr at this point. And just because of what he did against Nebraska.
Tore him up.
This game, okay, so this season, Brett Smith, and this is just really quick, 1,315 yards, 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's just passing.
Yeah, that's just in the air.
He has also another touchdown on the ground. So, 14-3. His 3 interceptions came... Okay, 1 interception against Nebraska, 1 interception against Idaho. Well, that might be knock him out of the contention altogether. And 1 touchdown, 1 pick versus Northern Colorado. But he was hurt that week. They shouldn't have even played him.
Okay, so real quick, I'm looking at national leaders total offense. Where do you think Brett Smith lands?
I would say in the top 10.
He's number 2.
Really? Behind who? Marcus Mariota?
Oh, no. He's at him. Mariota's played 3 games, so it's kind of... Well, this is even yards per game. It's not total yards. So Jared Goff at Cal, freshman QB.
Yeah, Goff.
He's not running. He's, well, with Sonny Dykes' offense, not going to run, but 428 per game. Brett Smith is averaging 403 yards per game. He's ahead of Sean Mannion, 3. Derek Carr, for those who wondered, 4th. Marcus Mariota is 5th. He has 383 per game. And then Johnny Manziel's 8th, and I guess Jordan Lynch there, notable name, number 9.
So do we need to put Brett Smith on the Heisman campaign
as well? I was
about to say,
should he be Heisman consideration? They don't have anybody to play left. Did they beat Nebraska? If they did, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Do they? Hold on. Does Wyoming also play Boise and Utah State?
Yes.
And Nevada?
And the Mountain.
Well, sorry for not memorizing the division. Like you.
Well, know. Whose problem is that?
that's a me problem. I need to know. They're in the Mountain. So there was, let me say real quick. Air Force, New Mexico, crap. Boise, Utah State, UNLV,
Wyoming
Nevada.
Has, okay. Oh, is that right? Geez. Okay, so okay. They play Fresno State, San Jose State, Boise State, and Utah State.
That's it.
Left.
Reasonable schedule.
That's, you know what? If they go, and this is a huge if they go undefeated for the rest of the season.
Ooh, 11-1.
If they go 11-1... There's your Heisman campaign.
Cowboys
like,
in the BCS?
Cowboys in the BCS? I would say that.
If they win the title game.
If they win the title
which
game,
would
which
mean
would
mean probably
Fresno State again.
Most likely. Well, no, I'm saying Fresno's got it wrapped up at 1-0.
So are we gonna circle November 9th as the possible rematch as well?
It is in Laramie.
It is in wow.
And it's a November game at Laramie.
Which means snow day.
Snow, crazy, crazy wind, very cold.
Oh, my God.
You know what's even more funny not to worry about? But it's at least it's not a night game. It's a 1 p.m. local kick, which is
It's still freezing.
But
then.
Still, but once it gets about 6 o'clock, oh, man. But the more funny game, Hawaii plays at... In Laramie, November 23rd.
Yeah, God.
Why? It's like, we play at negative sea level. Let's go to 7,000 feet and play.
Gee, okay.
Seriously, about Wyoming. So, they got Texas State, New Mexico. I'm assuming it's safe to say they're going bowling because they'll beat Texas State, beat New Mexico, beat CSU at home. That's 5. And then at least Hawaii, they'll at least get 6 wins.
Texas State, New Mexico, CSU, that's already at 6 wins.
Oh, my mistake. You're right. So
the question is, what's the ceiling for Wyoming football?
Because here's the thing. They're built, I think they're similar to Fresno, and their defense could be better.
Their defense might be better than Fresno.
Because
right now, I mean, Utah State looked solid in their loss. but their offense just couldn't get it together.
But USC has a great defense. That's the thing to look at. They're still a very good defense.
They're still a very good defense. But on the other hand, you have – on the other hand, I think just Wyoming might look better than Utah State at this point.
So are you going to reevaluate your top four?
Not yet.
So you still
give it one more week.
But wait, Wyoming, how can you give Wyoming one more week? Look who they're playing, man. Texas State. What are you gonna tell me when they're 7-1? Let's wait if they're for real or not.
No, I mean hey, this is our mid-season game, like mid-season recap, right?
No, we're at the quarter way, man. We're not halfway yet.
Wait till the mid-season.
Oh wait, mid-season. Oh, okay. I see.
We'll reevaluate things then.
So mid-season would say mid-October, so that would put them at 5-1. But still, Texas State, New Mexico.
Yeah.
What is Texas State? I don't even know. And that's on the Longhorn Network for those who... You have UVerse, you could Longhorn Network, don't you?
Nope.
Is it available in your area, but you just don't have it?
Yep.
Okay. You don't want to give the Lost Odds any more money?
Nope.
You don't want to pay Bevo anything?
Nope.
They're 2-1. They beat Southern Miss, if that's anything.
No.
I'm saying. I know it is. Okay, so I'm intrigued by Wyoming. If I'm going to go a top... See, I think with the losses for Boise and Utah State, they weren't embarrassing losses, and they were two pretty good teams. So I would still say Fresno won. I think I'll go Wyoming number two at the point. Brett Smith is the quarterback I wish he would have been last year. But he's doing what he did freshman year because we all remember we're doing the preview of the season. Matt's like, they're just going to run a little bit. They're not going to do designed runs. He'll run when he needs to run. No, they're mixing everything in, and he's killing it. So I'm going to, when I send out the PowerPoint email, I'm going to put Wyoming. Wait, what division are they in again? Hold on. Sorry.
Wow. Mountain, damn it.
I don't know why I'm forgetting. It's new.
They are in the mountain.
Yes.
They sit at the highest damn point the fucking nation. I'm sorry. Edit that out.
Oh, man, make me do more work. I'll just leave it. Whatever. It's 1 week. SEC's not responsible for us. So, sorry, you're correct. They are a mountain. I guess they should be the pinnacle of the mountain. But I will say, yeah, I will go. If I do top four, I'd go Fresno, Wyoming, Boise State, Utah State. I will stick my neck out and put Wyoming number two. Because they are, if you recall, they were my dark horse team to win the league.
They were your dark horse
and
team.
And I recall people saying, Nevada, I'm like, that's a questionable dark horse team. But I was like, I will accept it because they were third place, I believe, in the division preseason rankings. No, behind San Jose State. So I would say okay with that. But remember, I predict dark horse. What do I mean? Mountain West champions. Dark horse, not champion. Remember it.
Right now. So okay,
that's all we got for you this week, I guess. Any last tidbits you want to mention about USC fans or your sunburnt trip to the Coliseum? Is it crappy stadium as we think it is?
No. The stadium itself is really nice, and I mean there's not great areas to tailgate, but I mean they've got people just grilling on the sides selling hot dogs, nice. Which is kind of cool. I don't think you want to eat them, but it really is a nice stadium. It's just exposed. And it's funny because as soon as you walk through the tunnel, you feel the breeze and you're like, oh, it's really nice. And then when the breeze stops, you're just burning in the sun. But it is a beautiful stadium. The seats are a little bit tight.
Isn't it all bleachers, I think?
Yeah. The fans, the typical USC fan is a complete idiot.
They didn't show up and give you free tickets. We only go to the big games, remember?
Well, I mean... No, but those are actually, like, intelligent fans, and apparently, like, she's actually out of town this week, so...
Okay, that's reasonable. We can excuse that, then.
But, I mean, it's funny, because the people who were sitting next to us last week, or who were... The people whose season tickets were last week, and who they came to this week, they had their season tickets. They're like, oh, we only missed one game a year, and last week was the game we missed. But we're back at every single game. But like they were actually very intelligent fans.
Okay, good.
And then you had the people right next to me. I swear.
Are they still in the WAC? Are they in the Sun Belt?
They thought it was an FCS team.
What?
Yeah, they were like, who's this team that we're playing, and why are we playing so bad against them? I'm like, This is Utah State. I've never heard of that school before. I said they only came in first in the WAC last year. And they have a fantastic quarterback who, by the way, has been on national games.
Yeah, I could see maybe, oh, who's at school? And then, okay, and these people tell them, okay, this, and this. But you would think they would know a little bit if they – you think if you're going to the game, you want to know a little bit about who you're playing?
Yeah. No. And then the second thing was and it was hilarious because it was just like, oh, well, I mean – we must be not really trying against them. I'm like, no, you guys are trying because obviously you're getting to the quarterback, which doesn't happen. They're like, what do you mean that doesn't happen? I'm like, once again, if you looked at his stats at all before this game.
Yeah, you would see he can put up some numbers. Yeah, I could. It's, I don't know. I could see you need some education on the team a little bit, which is fine. But if you're there,
I'm sorry. A little bit. When you say, why is that a false start? We're USC. And you have fans calling BS from a false start. They are the dumbest fans in the.
Okay, so would you go back again for a game there?
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay, just saying. Even if you had to pay money to go,
it's football.
Just saying. I'm still working very diligently to try to go to that Utah State BYU game in 2 weeks. That should be exciting. So maybe I'll get to go to a Mountain West game this year. I do get to go to one. I know Logan's not as glamorous as the Coliseum, Romney Field or Romney Stadium, whatever it's called, but there will be some talent. Hopefully, Chuck Heaton does well. So I guess that's all we got for tonight. I don't have anything else to add except for, am I hitching to Wyoming, I guess?
I think so. I think I'm
hanging on to Wyoming, and I don't know. We'll see if when a couple weeks after our midseason, once they're 6 or 7-1, how they're doing. But like to thanks everybody for hanging out, listening. We had a top 5 weekend on Saturday. So thanks for hanging out with us, visiting. Please comment. I would appreciate just to say hi or just say I commented because I was told to.
You're gonna have all the BYU fans listen the whole game and then be like really offended because I cursed at the end.
Why? We don't cover BYU here. Well, we will in a couple weeks for 2 games, I believe. Utah State.
Something like that. Yeah, Utah State, Nevada.
Whatever, but yeah, thanks for coming out, visiting. We put up polls. I've heard furious feedback. Put polls, so we got a couple hundred people poll. So thanks for doing that. Visit MWCConnection.com, and we'll just say have a great look forward to week 5, and there should be some excellent games coming up for us to talk about this week.